All right. What's up, you dirtbags? My name is Luke Eggebrotten, host of the Dirtbags podcast. I wanted to give you guys a couple updates before we dive in with our very special guest today. Couple things, as you guys have seen, we've been changing up a bit of the format on the podcast. We're going to be doing a little bit more on YouTube, some more shorts, TikTok style reels and videos, etc., as the episodes come out. One thing to keep an eye out for is shortly coming up, we will have, when we record these episodes, we're going to tease a live viewing of the episode. So if any of you guys have been on the Dirtbags University, it's kind of like that webinar feel, but we're going to now record the podcast while live on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and all of that. So you guys will actually be able to interact with the guests that we interview and have on the show, but also be able to dive in, ask your questions, give your two cents. So we're super excited for that. Should be in a couple episodes here. We'll start to test that and tease that and see what you guys think. So other than that, we are very, very excited. I was just talking to everyone here, and this one has been a long time coming. We've wanted to get him on the show for a while. His manager's a little tough on us. So finally, we got it worked out with his schedule, got the payment submitted. Welcome, Christian Leffley with Windwood Property Services. How are we doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
Dude, doing great. Glad we could get you on. You're not really a tough one to get on, but I made most of that up. But I've been following you for a long time, and this is like the perfect episode to have you on. I've been very excited to like dive in more with your story, but also how you run your business. And if anyone doesn't follow him, I believe it's at Windwood Property Services on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube as well. But Christian, good to have you on the show, and excited to dive in here.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I will say for everybody out there, it wasn't all made up, because my manager, he actually just walked out of the office. He's got four legs, and it's cutting into the ball time outside. So he is a little upset that I had to cut that short tonight. That's my dog, Togi. So he's Winwood's manager, and he leaves me a little a tight schedule all the time. So
I mean, he drives a hard negotiation, you know, a hard bargain, but we said, Togi, give us an hour. You'll go have your ball time after. It'll all be good. But yeah, dude, I know a lot of people have been asking to have you on, and I think a big piece of it is the personality that you have online, but also in person too. It's just, you approach business in a way that like, you don't necessarily care what everyone else thinks, but like, you want to do it in a way that you and your team want to run this business. So before we kind of get into where you're at today, if you can back me up a little bit, I believe you started the business 2016. Was it summer of in between your junior and senior year of high school?
Yeah. So back in between my junior and senior year, I had actually junior year, I moved out to this area, Saugatuck, right on the lakeshore in Michigan. And just, I worked full time for an excavating company, and then was like, I don't know, I wanted more, didn't know what exactly, right? Like, I had done landscaping, mowing lawns my whole, I guess, life up to that point for a friend's company in Grand Rapids where I used to live. And when I moved here, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And actually, my dad does real estate. And so it was like Memorial Day weekend, he had flyers little flyers printed and put them on like a little American flag. And I mean, I don't even know if this is legal or not, or like invasion of privacy or trespassing, but like, he probably did 500 of them. And on half the flyer was like Windwood, and half the flyer was his real estate info. And he went around on his golf cart with his dog. We're big dog people here. So
yeah,
that flag in like literally every yard in the town, all up and down the lakeshore. And you know, that's kind of how it all started. And it was just like, you know, one $20 lawn after, you know, another $20 lawn. Like, you know, I just drove around. And back then I had a little Volkswagen TDI Jetta, a 2007 TDI Jetta.
And big shift?
No, it was automatic.
Okay.
But I picked it up for like, I had always wanted one. I had a truck too at the time, but that was just like, that's what I was using. Like, it was just made sense. I literally would take the Lawn Boy push mower and put it in the trunk of the Jetta with like a little weed whacker and a leaf blower and just like go around town. And so that was kind of the start of it. And like, I actually, the first two customers that I had up until last year, and I no longer do business with them just because they were, it worked for 7 years. And then after that, as my cost went up as a business owner, like my price of business had to go up. And eventually it just was like too much for them. And I was like, okay, I get it. But you also have to understand like when I started then versus now and everything. So, and it was, I would say no hard feelings or anything, but I think there definitely were. So that's kind of where I started back then. And then all summer still worked for the excavating company. And I would just do my stuff either, honestly, it was weekends, Saturday, Sunday, like every single weekend all summer. Because that excavating company I worked for had a very big contract with Dollar Generals. And so I would be out of town Monday from 6 a.m. until Friday at 7 p.m. I worked out of town pretty much. And so I never had time like after work. So there was all weekends, and then graduated high school, and went to my principal at the time, who had right after my senior year ended, he went from principal to superintendent of our district. So I went right to him and I was like, hey, how do I get the lawn contract? Like for the school district. And I obviously, you and I, Luke and I were talking before the podcast started. Like, I live in a very small town. Our town, I guess,
877, we're talking.
877 people. If you go across the bridge to this other small town of Douglas, that's 1,200. So 2,000 people, 22, 2,100, in our whole area. That still is, 90, 80% of our service area is just within this small area. But so I went right to the superintendent and I was like, how do I get this? And he said, actually, it goes up for bid this year. We'll send you the, RFP for it and, send us a number. So I get it, look over, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to have this much insurance and all this stuff. And I was just like, where do I start? Right. So I call up my buddy who I worked for, and I was like, hey, how do I do this? And he's like, well, you got to get this, this, and this. He's like, I think the first, couple of years, let's run it through my business, and you'd just be an employee of my business when you're mowing those lawns. And we kind of explained that to the district, and they were, I mean, as long as somebody had the insurance, I don't think it really mattered. And everything was figured out. It just didn't get ran through Wynnewood for the first 3 years of that contract, pretty much just for that reason, because like I couldn't justify going out to spend, $4,000 on insurance for a $25,000 contract a year, like, because that was like my biggest contract that I was going to have. And so we just ran it through my buddy's company for the first 3 years. When it came up for rebid, by then I was fully established, and we switched it from his company to my company. So yeah, started out with that, and that was like, okay, we get that contract. I was like, all right, I need something bigger than a push mower now, because like I got to mow schools and do all that. And so I actually just bought like a used commercial mower and quickly progressed from like an old snowmobile trailer that I had for my snowmobile to like another trailer that my dad had. And then I just went and bought an enclosed trailer. And so that, the setup that we ran. And then I quickly, like, as actually this time, like late October, November comes around, like we have a lot of leaves here, and that's a big part of our business is fall cleanup. And I was like, I'm a one man show, and like these schools, like it's a big property to do by yourself. So by then I had, stacked some cash away, and I actually went out and bought like a big ride-on leaf blower, which I just sold that one last week, actually. But and that's, I mean, that was a big, like my first big investment was that. I mean, it was a $12,000 leaf blower. Like, it literally is just a thing that blows air for $12,000.
Dude. So, yeah, how do you at that stage, how do you justify $12,000 when, you have this big contract, But these are numbers you've never seen before. You're used to these, $20 lawns, and you said it's about a $20,000 to $25,000 contract. So you're probably just thinking, like, was your mindset more of less on the profit, more of like, I need to get this shit done just to make sure I'll be invited back next year?
100%.
And okay, cool. Because I had a very similar mindset when I started Phaser, of just like, listen, now is not the time to make a bunch of money in our net profit. You need to deliver for your first few clients above and beyond, even if that means you're just about breaking even.
I was negative, honestly, because that contract, yeah, I was like paying X amount, but I was still working full time for this excavating company. And like every paycheck I got from that went into my bank account, into my personal bank account. And once, I had a, I'm like, all right, like I have all this money. Like, oh yeah, I think at that time, 18-year-old kid, I got 15 grand in my bank account. Like out of all my buddies around here, I was like, yeah, I've got the fattest ba bank account around. And then, oh, instead of going to do something stupid or whatever, like I go and buy a leaf blower, which I guess they probably all thought was dumb, right? Like, why are you spending
Dude.
12 grand on a leaf blower? But I just knew because like the company I had worked for had invested in like that right equipment, which made, this leaf blower at the time was the power of like five guys with just your standard backpack blowers. Like, so now I just like quadrupled my ability to, get things done. And so yeah, I go into the dealer, write him a check for 12 grand, and I was like, holy smokes, like, all right, now I gotta
We're
go.
in this thing.
Yeah, now I gotta, like, I'm in it, and I gotta go buy or go get, more leaves to blow, whatever. And like pretty much for the first 3 years, and I mean, even still today, like I invest like heavily, like it's still today like about putting a lot of money back into the business, into the equipment, and like everything along that line, just having the right equipment for the right job and being able to deliver like an amazing product to our customers, because we get a lot of our work from, word of mouth. Like it's we've done some paid ads, like 2 years ago we did some, and it works for some people and doesn't work for others. And I think with our area just being so small, it's harder to target. And we also have a ton of vacation rentals or second, third, fourth, fifth homes. Like these people don't live here full time.
Because you
So,
guys are on the lake shore, right?
yeah, right along the lake shore. So a lot of our work has just come to us word of mouth. And the easiest way to get more work by word of mouth is by delivering a great product. If you do a bad job, you're not going to get more work. If you do a good job, you're going to get more work. I mean, it's super simple, but it's, having the right equipment isn't always cheap. So
And like I always say, word travels fast, and
good or bad.
that goes both ways,
Yeah.
absolutely. And so if you business is a long game, you want to be in this past that 3 year mark, past the 5 year mark, past the 20 year mark potentially. And to do that, you're gonna have to see a lot of people, a lot of the same faces, and word travels so fast. And so word of mouth referrals, that can absolutely fuel your business. And also the word of mouth of you guys screwing somebody over, burning a bridge, or just not being honest in your work or not doing a great job, that can ruin your business as well. And like we always say, the one thing you do have is your reputation.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I think we all know that it will tank your business faster than it will grow your business, because like it does take it to grow that way does take, a little longer, and it's a slower climb. And but I've been fine with that, and because we've gotten the work we want and not really just taken on like anything and everything, and we get the customers we want to work for. And it's also a lot easier to close a job on a customer that you got from a referral, because they've, that previous customer that you did work for has already sold their friend on Wynnewood or on Phaser or whatever. That customer already did the selling and all of that. You just have to talk to them and be like, yeah, what do you want? Like, what do you want us to do? And that's been the hardest thing for me. Like I just turned 26, and we're doing right now, we're on a $80,000 plus like retaining wall project, for a homeowner. And unfortunately, in our business, like the landscape side of things, and even I would honestly, in any business, like there's definitely been the younger business owners that will go in, oh, yeah, we can do that, no problem. And they either deliver poorly or they don't deliver at all after they take a deposit. So, as like younger business owners, you and I both, like we have to sell that customer on trust and for them to trust us and, you know, believe that, you know, they're not going to get burned again, possibly. 'Cause I've talked to countless homeowners who have been like, yeah, like, you know, this project was started a year ago and the guy like got a quarter of the way done, you know, took 20 grand from us and then never showed back up. And here I am now proposing $50, $80, $100,000 worth of more work at 26, and that guy was 29. And it's like, how do they know I'm not going to do that as well? So that's like the biggest battle, I would say, honestly, that I face, like being a younger business owner, is like kind of picking up what other people have set this standard as, unfortunately, which isn't true for all of us. You know, there's a lot of us are trustworthy and like we're legit business owners and we're gonna do what we say we're gonna do. Unfortunately, a lot of people can jump in and be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be a business, so I'm gonna own my own business and do this. And they get in over their head, they take all this deposit, and then, you know, things fall apart and it goes downhill, which sucks for everybody in that situation. So
And I love that point too, because it brings up a really good talking point here of one thing I've learned over the last couple of years is I've almost become emotionless with money, and especially money coming into our business, because I believe that you need to separate Windwood from Christian, and you need to separate Phaser from Luke. Like, we are essentially just employees of this entity, of this asset, of this business. And so becoming more emotionless when a $80,000 project comes in will prevent you from saying, oh, we got $40,000 deposit. What should we buy for the office? What should we do for this? But you also need to factor in, like, the job needs to get completed. And there's so many other issues that are going to come up, that are absolutely going to come up. And so that's why I love to funnel it through this entity, which is the business, and paying yourself on a set schedule as the owner is important. And then what I like to do is having an owner take profits after they've paid their taxes for the quarter. 'Cause then it's like, okay, where are we at? Bare minimum. Like, what do we got left? And then you can see, like, okay, sweet. We have 50K left after paying everything, after putting money in retained earnings to grow the company, after we've paid our debt payments. And then what can we pay ourselves extra from that? So I'd love to dive into that a little bit more, because when does that, you start as just in high school and you're probably keeping most of the money, and then you start to see, like, okay, yeah, $12,000 leaf blower, we're probably going to need another piece of equipment coming up, potential future employees. Like, how do you juggle how much to pay yourself and how much to invest in the business when like they both need to eat?
no, 100%. Sorry, my dog's playing with his moose antler right now. So, honestly, the first like 3 years, 3.5 years, I'll say, I pretty much just put everything back into the business. Toby, hey, you can't play with that. No, sorry for everybody on the podcast listening. That is, Togi is just trying to play with his moose antler right now.
He's
So,
doing manager things.
yeah, being noisy in the background of the office. And but yeah, so the first three and a half years, when I was working for that other company still, I mean, Christian saw nothing from Wynwood essentially. And I was living off like the crumbs of the crumbs until I bought my house. And then I was like, okay, now I wasn't planning on like buying a house. And then that's kind of when I was like, okay, I have to pull, you know, 20 grand from Wynwood to help, you know, with a deposit on a house. And then kind of went into, all right, how is this all going to work now? And thankfully, my accountant is very good at, you know, helping me strategize with all of that and like set that stuff aside for, you know, owner draws or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it was three and a half years of just like fully investing everything that Wynwood made back into the company, whether it was equipment or merch or advertising or, you know, future expenses. I mean, obviously for me, a lot of it was just like equipment. I was just, yeah, I don't, it wasn't always like a need, but I was like, if I have that, I can cut this, and this time, you know, in half. So why not, you know, just buy that and it makes everything a lot easier. Not telling people to just be dumb about it, but like obviously every business structure is different. I'm talking about, you know, not buying, you know, $12,000 leaf blowers, but that was like that one. I was like, hey, it makes sense. It's going to cut my time down drastically. Like, yeah. And then getting a new mower or whatever, you know, getting rid of that old mower. So the first 3.5 years for sure. And still, like to this day, like I put a ton of it back into the business, whether it's, you know, our whole social media. Like, I don't make any money on it. I think we actually just got monetized on YouTube, but
Real, let's go, dude.
I've made $30 in the last 28 days. So like, all you people out there that think you can make, you know, maybe you can eventually, but
We'll get there.
for what it cost me a month, that's about 1% of what it cost me a month.
Yeah,
So
go subscribe to the Wynwood YouTube channel right now so we can bump that up a little bit, get you to $50.
yeah, $50. And I think that's when they actually pay out. So it might be at the end of November that they'll pay out.
It's just stuck in purgatory right now. You're like, man, that $30, that could help.
I could put that in like, you know, a cash account and make 5% on it or something. But so yeah, I mean, I still just like that, or we talked before the show, like hats. I give hats out, and shout out to Jared at Big Bear Leather. Like, I'll
Hell
be
yeah.
able to shout him out either way. That dude, like, I have, I mean, a whole shelf of them behind me. All different colors, shapes, sizes, everything. So
Yeah, he is the man. Big Bear Leather Goods on Instagram. I'm holding it up on for anyone on YouTube, but he made these leather patch like USA style hats for us a long time ago. And I think it was you actually talking about this, but the quality you get, like you're going to pay more per hat, but
100%.
he hand makes every single one. He'll send you the video of them like making the patch, everything, hand stitching, all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is well worth. I don't want to, you know, say how much it was. It was somewhere in like the 20s. So if you're gonna sell them and you're trying to make a big profit, probably not the best way to go. But if you're looking for like some sweet quality hats, Big Bear Leather Goods, check them out. And yeah, just like fully custom. It's
Yeah, and
awesome.
that's like, I mean, the biggest thing, like, I'm not gonna lie, I've probably spent close to 10 grand on hats with him
Yeah.
over
Dude,
the years,
it's
just because like a new color will come out and I'm like, yeah, send me, you know, 24 in each color. And it's just been like, that's part of how we kind of have it like set up, like giving a customer a hat. So this project I'm on right now, like, they have three boys and, you know, our equipment is there. It's been there for, you know, 2 weeks, and the kids are just like in awe about a skid steer and a little mini excavator. Like, they get home from school and they just want to sit outside and watch us work. And so like the other day or last week, I was there and I don't know, I was talking to them and a couple of the kids came out with popsicles, and I was like, hey, I was like, I want a popsicle. So they're like, all right, we'll go inside. They got me a popsicle,
Ten
and the pop
bucks.
came out, and I was like, I'll bring you guys, if I get a popsicle, I'll bring you guys a little gift tomorrow. And they're like, oh yeah, like, what are you gonna get from a landscaper, right?
Yeah.
Like, give us some rocks or something. And so I showed up the next day, great, or I was well prepared, I guess, because there was actually like three friends over, three of their friends.
Let's
So
go.
hold on, I just gotta jump out of here and, yeah, get out of here, go. So I grabbed like a handful of hats. Like, I mean, I have three different color camo ones, green, black, yellow. I don't even know what this one is. Black. Yeah, I mean, I have every colorway that Richardson makes, basically. And
Yeah.
so I just come into my office, I grab a handful of them, go back to that job the next day, and they all get home from school. And I was like, hey, come here. grab them out of my truck, and like, dude, the kids were like ecstatic about them. And granted, the three kids that were kids of the homeowner that I'm working for, I was like, I don't care about you guys, but the other three, I was like, you guys got to go home and tell your parents, like,
Yeah, right.
if they need anything done, Wynwood. I already sold your parents on the job, so like, we're good here. But it's just like that, that. And I gave one to the husband and one to the wife, and like, they like them, like they're quality hats, and like, they're gonna go, they might wear them out and about and like, or whatever, and they'll talk about it. And
Yeah.
again, like word of mouth. And if you can give them something, but that's literally, if I gave those seven hats at $20, like that's $150 like that I
Right.
just, but hey, it's hopefully bring something down the line one day. If not, like we got a job, and they know that like I'm genuine about it, and I'm not just like doing business just to, I want to build, like I want them to get what they want. They're spending on the whole project outside is like our wall, pool, a big barn. Like these people are spending $500,000, and like that's a
Yeah.
contractor can do is like let them know that like we do care about our work, we stand behind it. And like if you ever forget who installed it and something went wrong, like if in 5 years, like at least you got a hat and you can like look at them and be like, oh yeah, I need to call them because I have a question. Like I'll answer the phone in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20. I don't know. I'll be 20,
You
46.
might be on a beach.
Yeah, might be in the mountains or something. So, but yeah, it's just like things like that, like just investing into the brand to has helped us grow because it makes in a customer's mind, it makes us seem more legit, I guess I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. And people underestimate, and people being business owners, especially ones listening too, just like underestimate what it means when somebody's wearing a brand on like on their head or like wearing a sweatshirt that you started. And it's like it's not an NFL team. It's nothing like crazy. It's a landscaping company or it's a marketing agency. And it's but when somebody's wearing that and like supporting that you ask yourself, is that worth $24? And of course, absolutely. And that's just if they wear it one time. But I always look at it as I want to build, anytime I interact with somebody with Phaser marketing, I want to build a fan, like one fan at a time of the Phaser brand. And so I love giving out merch. When you brought up the 10K in hats, I don't know what we've spent in merch this year, but oh, dude, the new Skitty air
Right there in
fresheners.
my office. I hang them on my lights in here all the time.
Yeah, so my wife did think I was crazy because I've spent I think over $5,000 in air fresheners this year. People love them though, and over I think over $4,000 in stickers. And it seems crazy, but when you just get in that habit of always, I like to think I always want to have stuff on deck. And so for hats, always have hats in your truck. Always have hats at your house or at the shop or whatever, because when that kid walks in or that customer walks in and you already have them, they're already paid for in full. You feel a lot better about just, oh yeah, here, grab this. You'd rather them have it, them wear it, than it just sit on your shelf. And that's my mentality with it. We've got in my garage right now, I've got probably 400 hats, a couple thousand books, like all this stuff. And I'm sending stuff every single day to people, whether they ordered it or not. And so it is just the most fun way to kind of build your brand and your business, but in a non-traditional way, because most landscaping companies, most marketing agencies, they don't typically have that brand that people just want to wear that aren't even a client.
No, 100%. And like, I mean, it was literally the day after I gave the kids the hat. Like, they came home from school wearing them. So like, you already like went, they already wore it to school, and like, I don't know, maybe some other kids saw it, thought it was a cool hat. They went home and
Yeah.
told their parents about it. Like, you never know. And like
Yeah.
you said, like it's already been paid for. I got my American Express points. Like, I paid the American Express off.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna try to go on vacation with those points this winter. And now they're on my shelf. So like to give them
Yeah.
out, yeah, we'll just sell them and like try, we tried to sell them, I think
Yeah.
I sold maybe a dozen of them
Yep.
since. But if on a customer on a project or whatever. And we also do Christmas time. So I don't know if do you guys have Kilwins, like fudge down by you guys, or
I don't even know what that is.
Well, yeah, maybe it's more of like a Midwest thing or Michigan thing. I honestly don't know, but so it's just like a big fudge company, and I
Yeah.
mean, you fudged ice cream, chocolate, or every, whatever. And so my buddy's parents actually own one, and they started like 2 years ago, kind of doing like gift boxes or whatever.
Yep.
And so I do, a couple dozen of those every Christmas time, and send them out to, different customers every year, and I'll just throw like a Wynwood hat in it. And last year, I actually had one customer who, like, after he got it, he's like, "Dude, like the chocolates and all the popcorn, blah blah, like that was awesome." And like the kids ate it up right away. But like the hats, like my wife stole mine, so I need another one. Like, how can
Yeah.
I buy one from you? And I was like, "Dude, I'll just send you one." Like, and that was it. Like, now he's wearing that around. Like the neighbors see it, whatever. It's so I say like we haven't done like a ton of paid advertising. That in a sense could be like you got to buy it, but it's just like you said, a traditional way, or a
Yeah.
non-traditional way of doing it, and it's worked so far, and we're gonna continue to do it that way, and see where it kind of all takes us. And it's also just like fun, because like
So fun.
especially when you have like you said, like not everybody wants to wear a hat that says Wynwood Property Services, because like a lot of people don't know, or like Phaser marketing,
Right.
like people don't know. But if you can make it like a cool product that people are like, yeah, I want
Yep.
to wear that when I go out, or I want to wear that when I go to this event or whatever, and like then it's fun, because like I don't know if you're anything like me, but anywhere, if I go anywhere, like I Wynwood everything, and
For
except
sure.
for like very few places where I'm like, I might not want to be known as Wynwood here, because like I'm gonna
Might
see,
spit on your burger.
well, no, I'm gonna see like every one of my customers there. That's what
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try to go like undercover. There's like a really nice steakhouse in town that I actually shout out to Jeremy from Glacier.
Let's go.
I wear a Glacier shirt or flannel every time I go to that restaurant, almost every time. And because it's just like total opposite of what any of my customers would ever see me in. So I like
Yeah.
that's my go-to shirt when I go out to like a nice dinner or something. So yeah,
Yeah, I'm
it's just fun.
huge shout out to Jeremy and Steve with the Snow Jobs podcast. Obviously, most people that are listening to the Dirtbags right now, listen to this episode, most of them have heard of, or if not listen to the Snow Jobs, but those guys are awesome. And funny enough, right now there's a package going to Jeremy and a package going to Steve that they don't know about. So, but by the time this episode comes out, they'll have gotten it. And very, very excited to see what they think. But those
On
guys
that
have.
note, I do have to pick some beef on it, because if we're going to give them a shout out on here, I was at Equip Expo with them and they didn't give me a shout out on the Snow Jobs podcast. And they're like, "Oh, you guys," because they were like, went into detail about who they saw and everybody that they
And you didn't
saw.
make the
I didn't make the cut, and I listened to it. And
Oh, you're just
so,
waiting for your name, and they're just like, yeah, and some other guy with a mustache, and that was about it.
and I was like, "All right, yeah, I get it, guys." Like, but thanks to the Snow Jobs for the dinner, because they picked up the tab at dinner on I think that was Thursday night. So I guess that was good enough for me. And but yeah, those guys incredible, and they've got a cool thing going over there
Yeah.
for sure. So it's fun for sure.
Yeah, they've always been so supportive and helpful. They've helped me get speaking gigs. They've helped me with the podcast. I've helped them with certain things. They've referred clients to us. I mean, you name it. They've always been. Oh, they sponsored our Phaser fundraiser, like $500 for the Boys and Girls Club. Like, you name it, they've stepped up. So I always love to support them when I can. And there's a lot of different ways we can do that. It doesn't just have to be, writing a check or anything. So. But yeah, those guys are something else. So
Yeah, that's a wild crew of snowplow and bandits, I guess we could call them.
yeah. So, and this is their season coming up. I mean, the fact that they've grown their show in the off season like they do and like they have, I know they've got some exciting like docu-series basically, like the storm chasing, and it's just incredible what they're doing. And so I always tell them, just keep the hammer down. Like, you guys are inspiring more than they probably even know. Like, they can feel what they're doing, but also they're inspiring people that won't even say anything to them. And you know, we see it all the time with the dirtbags, but they're on a whole nother level. And I'm just like, just keep it rolling.
Going for sure.
Yeah. So I know you've got the shop, the Windwood merch shop, but we do something similar. We have our Phaser shop, but it's like you said, people can buy stuff and they occasionally will trickle in, but mainly it's just, you're just sending stuff. So
yeah.
I wanted to kind of throw this out there too. If people are listening, they're like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I should get a stack of hats. Don't make it hard on yourself. Just get black on black, Richardson 112, and then just go through any hat company. If you want the leather patch, like Christian's wearing, just look up Big Bear Leather Goods on Instagram. It's just as simple as a DM. Say, I want, you know, 24 or 48 hats. How much does that cost? Here's my logo. And that, it's as simple as that. Send the money, get the hats. And then the fun part starts of what you get to do with them.
No, 100%. And like, then if you get yourself into a predicament like me, who really likes hats, and then you want different colors, and then you just, you end up having a lot of money in hats. See, I need a nice hat wall. Mine's just like a shelf that's
full. It's stacked up.
Yeah, just full of everyone. And I actually like, I probably have two of the most expensive Big Bear hats that, well, they're not for sale, or they, I don't think I'd ever sell them, but I have two Big Bear hats that I wore to a Morgan Wallen concert. Like, everybody
signed them.
Yeah, I got Morgan Wallen signed Big Bear leather hats.
We'll get you to auction them off at some point.
Yeah, at one point I might have to, you know, if my hat fund depletes, I might have to, you know, we'll get it to some blonde girl down in Arizona or something probably.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, dude, I love it. So let's, gosh, there's so much I want to dive into here. So one thing, social media, obviously a huge part of your business and what you do, the videos you're putting out, I believe you're at like 15K Instagram, yeah. Six or
actually
seven.
Just hit 15,000 last night. So that's pretty, yeah.
Yeah. I'm brushed up on my research here. So yeah.
No, that's
another, you know, another six or seven on TikTok. So I want to say that because like you and I know each other from this stuff, and you're from a town of 877 people. I'm from a town of 8,000 people. It's crazy how these relationships can be built through the dirt world, through these landscaping companies, excavation companies, but you're seeing that through social media. So like, I guess one thing is like, what is your strategy behind it? You know, who's doing the videos, how often you're putting them out. And then I guess the second thing is, what have you seen come from that?
Yeah, so we started the Instagram literally last year. Like, I mean, I guess I had it before, but barely posted anything on it. It was friends and family that followed it, you know, 200 followers, whatever. Last year I had a friend's company who, they're a marketing company local to me. And so we did some photo video content services from them. And that was like, just posting, I think, two reels a week, and then like a photo on Friday or something, across all platforms. Well, so obviously not a photo on TikTok or YouTube, but on Instagram and Facebook. So we started out there, and then winter came around, and our winters are just like not as consistent of work. So it didn't really make sense for me to continue to pay that through the winter. So I was just like, you know, whatever, we'll catch back up in the spring and probably start it again. Widget started coming around, and it's like, I start seeing these, and like, we grew probably to, I don't want to, if I asked him, he would know, because he had a whole spreadsheet with all of our analytics on it and everything. But I would say we were at probably six or 7,000 going into winter. So like, we grew pretty good last summer. And then wintertime comes around, and I see all these videos that people are making, and I'm like, dang, like wintertime stuff is just cooler.
It hits different.
It hits different. And my biggest like point about that, to pretty much anybody out there, is everybody sees, like, in this for social media, like, everybody sees summertime services for the most part. They see them get done because it's during the day. So like, if you have no relation or no understanding of the dirt world, like, you drive down the highway, you see an excavator, like, oh yeah, that's how that kind of works. Okay, I get it. You see a reel on Instagram, you're not really going to engage with it. Wintertime though, like, when all of our work is done in the wintertime, it's at night. Like people don't see it, right? Everybody's at home sleeping. We're snowplowing. We're doing everything, battling the weather. And you make a reel about it, and people are like, oh, wow, like that's how that all works at night. Like they have that kind of equipment. Like I didn't even know that was a thing, right? Or, oh, I see it sitting in parking lots, but I've never seen like how that blade works or how that machine works, whatever. So it's more like interesting to even like the common person that has zero interest in our trade. So I was like, whatever. I have a background in like video and editing because that was kind of an OG business that my buddy and I did through high school, was filmed like a couple weddings and stuff. Like I still have a Panasonic GH4. So
What
that was
was that business called? Oh, man.
I honestly don't even know. I have to go look, and I know I have business cards for it still.
We'll have to toss that on a hat or something.
Yeah, I'd have to look, but I think he's still running with it, honestly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's fully involved still doing that. But I think he does a lot of like ads for like big companies, like full on film setup, everything. So I was like, I can go buy a camera and I can make some reels. But to everybody out there, like you also don't need to go and spend 5 grand on a camera setup and to make, to start your social media page. Like you can use a phone. And honestly, from what I know about algorithms and all that, Instagram and TikTok's algorithm can, they know what that, they know how that video was filmed, and they will push a video that was filmed on an iPhone more than they will a professional camera setup. That's what I've heard from like some pretty big TikTok guys or YouTube guys that I know. They film solely on iPhones. Like look at Whistle and Diesel for an ex like example. Like he filmed on iPhones like for so long, and dude has millions of followers. But so yeah, we last winter I was like, screw it, I'm diving in. I get on BHP Photo or whatever. Well, first I Google. I'm like, what's the best like camera out right now for low light settings? Because like we're filming at night, snow plowing, whatever. So I get on there, I buy a Sony A7S Mark III, like full in $3,500 body, $1,000 lens, like just jumped right in, right? Also bought a drone, but I don't know, I don't remember when I bought the drone. Maybe I bought it this spring. So yeah, like I just jumped in and started making some of that snow plowing stuff myself. Coming into springtime, I was like, well, I have the whole setup, I just need to find a camera guy. And had a camera guy in the spring. Things didn't work out too well. And then let him go, got a new one. So, but our strategy to it is literally just like being consistent and using trending audio. Like that's been two biggest things for us. Like I don't know if that's what's helped us grow, or I don't know, honestly. Like yeah, we've had some reels like hit the million mark, but yeah, you get a lot of followers from that, but you also can get followers from just
The
staying
consistency and
consistency. Yeah. And posting across like all platforms. And I do all the posting myself. So I guess I have the final say on the video, whether I want to post it or not. And then, we branch into like the long form YouTube stuff. And like that's a whole different animal. And like getting views on that is, yeah, just totally different. Like YouTube's a very different platform than anything else out there. And so that's just like the biggest thing that we've done is just consistent. I try to do 5 reels a week, between Monday through Sunday, usually like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we do a YouTube like a reel to announce a YouTube video on Sundays. Sometimes that's not always consistent, especially since I'm the one posting and doing all that. And I post them on each one individually because I have heard that like if you allow Instagram to post on Facebook or TikTok to post on Instagram and Facebook, whatever, like it does, the algorithm doesn't like that. So I literally will go on every single one, write the caption, write the post, and any ones that have words in like in the video or like captions in the video, I do that on every single app. So like sometimes like I get home and that literally to post a reel on 4 platforms can take me an hour depending on the complexity of each reel. So like It is an investment, but I'm also taking it to a different level that a lot of people don't have to.
Right.
And I kind of do it for fun to see, like, do the ones with words perform better? Or do these ones, like, I kind of like in my head have like this whole made up spreadsheet of like seeing, how I made that one versus how I made this one. And like, I just am not as nitty gritty into like a real spreadsheet on my computer to track all that. Cause that's just like, now if I want to do that, that's even more times that I don't really. Oh, it's awesome. It is what it is. I do it for fun. It's cool so that in, 10, 15, 20 years from now, when Luke and I are on a vacation somewhere, like
Yes,
to eat.
sir. There's levels to it, right? And so there, whether you're just getting started and you're just putting something out there, that's better than not doing anything. And then to where you're at, like you're not spreadsheeting everything, but it is up here. And I would say I'm pretty much on the same level as you, except I don't edit. But I'm testing different hashtags. I totally agree with you. I always recommend updating or uploading the content natively with the platform. We've got all the tools in the world in our agency to upload in a second. But from what I've seen, from what I've experienced, seemingly it gets shadow banned every time I do that. So I like to just do it, write out the caption myself. I'm even like, copy and paste, even. I feel like they pick up on that. And so, but just testing little things like that is fun. And at the end of the day, the goal isn't to make $1 million from each video. And if you do that, you're gonna drive yourself crazy. But if you're just like tweaking things and testing things and just like experimenting with your own business, I mean, that's a ton of fun and it can be very impactful because I mean, it's working for you, but then it's gonna be changing here in a month,
Yeah. No, and like I personally think like the coolest part about it all is that like it brings all of us, like if it wasn't for Instagram, you and I would never know each other.
Yeah,
And
which is wild.
yeah, and it so it's built like our friendship and my friendship with people literally all over the world. And like that's what's fun about it, because like I can jump on Instagram and like Ryan from Iowa, I'm gonna butcher, I don't even, how do you
Ryan
say
shares.
share? That's how I thought, but like him and I have like, I would say like we're buddies, but we've never even met each other. We just like joke around with each other every day on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
He's the man. He,
yeah.
him, and I. He snaps me like every day, and we're just talking every day. He's a client of ours too, but he's awesome and just one of the boys.
It just makes it like, it almost just can make like your work more fun now, because now we can, send pictures or comments, whatever, back and forth to each other over social media of like, what some like they truly understand, like the same thought process that I'm processing about
Yeah.
this situation. Like they're thinking about it the same way. So like, you can talk to somebody about that in like a business owner to business owner conversation. That's like, you can't do that with my sister or my brother or
Right.
like your neighbor. Like they just don't really understand it exactly how you understand it. So that's been like, that's been super fun. And like, for anybody out there on those platforms, like, and even answering questions, like I get DMs all the time about like, oh, can I pick your brain on this? I'm like, yeah, if I have the time, like I don't always just sit there on Instagram and scroll like all night long and DM people, respond all night. So like I do miss them a lot, or I won't respond for a day, two, or a week, or whatever. More times now I'm sitting in the tree stand and can just
Yeah.
spend some time answering messages. So, but yeah, it's just been crazy. And I guess to get to the point about like where I see that it benefits us, we don't get work from it per se, but on these bigger jobs and even a smaller job, like a customer can look up Wynwood, see our social media pages, and essentially qualify us for the
Yep.
job. So that's been huge. And like I've been told that by customers. Like I've been told like, oh yeah, like we had never heard of you, and so and so recommended you. We looked you up, and like you did exactly what we want you to do here. So like we know you're qualified for the job. So that part does set us apart from our so-called competition out there. Like they can see our work right there on the internet world of what we're capable of doing and our equipment that we have to do the job. So
Yeah, and not many people are doing it in anyone's local area. So it's like you need that competitive edge and competitive advantage Whether they're your competitors or you collaborate with your competitors, it doesn't matter. Like, you're still building your own business and you want to have that competitive edge.
Yeah.
I got to ask you on it was maybe a couple weeks ago. I was watching some of your videos. Big butt cheeks, Frankie. How did
Yeah.
all that come about?
So Frankie LePen and I, we've been buddies for years
Really?
before he was even a TikTok star and anything. So we've actually done a couple videos, and then have you ever seen like the big bus that he has?
I don't think so, no.
He has an old like city bus that he has wrapped with all of his like
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
so that like and it's like a big it's like a 40 some foot long like bus, old city bus with just all the seats in it. And
Yep.
I'm actually the booty bus driver. I drive
No
them.
way.
Yeah, so like if he takes it to like an event or something locally, I'll drive it for him and like do all that. So and then yeah, he'll just be like, hey, I got this video idea, like we need this to make it happen. I'm like, all right, like sounds good, let's do it. Like it's pretty funny. Like
Dude.
and that's who like I've talked to him a lot about the whole social media world, because like he knows
Yeah.
it a million times better than I do, because that's
Yeah.
what he does. Like
That's his job. That's his business.
that's his business, that's his full-time job. So it is
Dude,
pretty funny though to like collaborate as a landscaper,
it
especially on our Instagram, like as a landscaper to collaborate with him.
I just saw like the tubing and I'm like, it's funny because from an outsider's perspective, like it makes zero sense when you say, yeah, Frankie LaPenna, the guy with the big butt cheeks, collaborating with my landscaping company. You're like, how does
Yeah.
that make sense? But that's the point. It's great content. He was up, I don't know if you know the Sea Boys or Sea Boys
Yeah.
TV. They live, I grew up with all those guys and
Okay.
right in Cormorant, Detroit Lakes area. And so he was just up there doing some stuff and so like I was seeing that on everyone's story and he's just got something about him. It's just like you can't look away.
Yeah, no. And dude, it's crazy, like we have 15,000 followers, and like I was at a Quip Expo, and like a couple people, like, oh yeah, like we like what you're doing, but like this dude has 8 million followers on TikTok.
Jeez.
And so you go anywhere with him in literally any town, and like people know him, and it's just like it's crazy. So it's pretty funny though, like the whole social media world is very, very strange, and obviously like a lot of things are going to that way. So I
Yeah.
figured, there's no better time to start than like now, 2 years ago, and just see what we can do, and at least build our online presence in a different way. Not so much
Yeah.
like driving them to our website and calling to reach out, like utilizing it to be like, hey, showcasing all of our work consistently and make it funny at times and do whatever. That's kind of the fun about it. Like we can do
Whatever you want, it's your
whatever we
business.
want. Yeah. And because we've had a couple of videos, like going back to Jeremy, like I did one of him last winter, and I like had taped a picture of him on my mailbox and then hit it with my plow, and it got like a couple hundred thousand views on TikTok. And like these people were telling me that like that's a felony, you're gonna go to prison, this and that.
Come on.
Like this is my own mailbox. Like I'm the one that has to replace it. And but like
Yeah.
just fun. Like, and so
Some people don't have a sense of humor. No, stuff like that. It's your own business. Like, why not do what you want to do? You have fun with it. And just give it a crack. 'Cause at the end of the day, like you have 15,000 followers and your business is going to evolve by the time you hit 30, 35, 40. But at the end of the day, you're going to have these people that are engaged and fans of Windwood, which is a landscaping company in Saugatuck, Michigan. And
yeah.
but it's people all over the country and in the world, like you said. So I want to pivot a little bit here because I know earlier we were talking about obviously the leaf blower 12K, investing into technology and tools to help you be more efficient. I think it's a perfect segue because it's more of a mindset thing that you as a business owner have because I believe you've got the CMP grapple and the Encon. Like most people, until they use that or have those attachments, like don't understand why you'd pay that much money for a tilt rotator. But then when you realize it, like eliminates an extra person or extra two people, and not like their job, but it eliminates them from standing there and going to do something else. Like, tell me more about that, why you have those and how that's changed your business.
Yeah, so I hemmed and hawed for literally a year and a half about getting an excavator, putting a tilt rotator on it, and like,
Was that the 306?
the 306. And not to mention, I had already gotten my skid steer, because like the skid steer is a lot easier piece of equipment to justify. It works
For
in the summer,
sure.
it works in the winter, it's making money year round. An
Yeah.
excavator, it's not.
Yeah.
And so like, I hemmed and hawed around that, and it was literally the worst time, as we all know, like to buy equipment was right during COVID. That's when it was. Like, I almost bought one right before, and I think I look at that email all the time from my salesman. Like, the first quote I got was literally 85,000 for my 306 with just like the bucket setup, right?
Yeah.
By the time I went and bought it, it was 115,000
Oh
for the
man.
same exact thing.
Same
And
exact thing.
so yeah, I mean, obviously people that follow us on Instagram too, like, I paint all of my equipment black. My skid steer is black, my excavator is black. So like, that's an additional expense already to this outrageous
How much
price.
does that cost usually?
So my 306 was 15,000.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Like, and you can tell when somebody doesn't get it professionally done, where it's like got that tainted spray paint look. But yeah, I think that's a big misconception. Like when Luke Payne was painting
I
his
understand why
excavators,
he stopped.
dude, I'm like, he was telling me like the bill for it. I was like, it looks incredible. But yeah,
How do
and
you
then,
justify it, though?
and for him, it wasn't, I don't think it was as much the cost. And of course, I don't want to speak for him, but I think a lot of it was like, okay, we have this machine, but it needs to get out in the field right like yesterday. We don't have time to let it sit in the shop for a 2 week wait period and get all this stuff done. So,
It takes a
but
lot of planning to like get it all done. I mean, my paint guy had my excavator for a month and a half, and
yeah.
I just had to plan it. So like, I also, you don't want to be, you don't want to buy it in November and it's not going to work all winter. So like,
Right.
the timing worked out, perfectly. I got it in like February, but then it sits in a paint shop until middle of March, and that's kind of when our season starts. So like, it was perfect timing and everything,
Yeah.
but it's still like, all right, the excavator sitting in the paint shop. Like, I just made the first payment on it. And
I'm sure Kat was gonna delay those payments for you though
oh
until you, yeah,
yeah,
for
they were
sure.
totally understanding. Hey, we get it, you're gonna send it to another place to get painted, we'll delay the payment until you actually start, until you can dig a hole with it. Well,
Yeah,
yeah,
we
they
got you covered.
no, they don't care about that at all. So I guess I off of that, though, I forgot where you wanted me to spin off of that.
Yeah, I mean, so the CMP grapple,
Oh
the
yeah.
Incon, and just like the how the, because buying an excavator is one thing. I mean, most companies will do that, and they'll see the value for that, but it's that next step of, and you guys aren't a multi-million dollar company that's been in business for 25 years. So
No.
to make an investment like that into some grapples and into some attachments, yeah, what kind of pushed you over that edge there?
Yeah, so honestly, like, I saw it all before. I ran excavators without them. Got the job done. It's fine. It gets the job done. But I had gone to Dig It, Durbin's,
Irvin.
an Incon like demo day, and he's got, I think, three of them for sure, maybe four. And so I went to one of his like demo days and ran literally the same machine that I was gonna buy with an Incon on it, and I was like, it's a no-brainer.
That, yeah.
Once you run one, especially, I mean, obviously every business is different. We work in, tight areas and like do this. And, I ran his and I was like, all right, it's done deal. Like, literally, I think I got home that day, emailed my salesman at Cat, and I was like, yep, like, I'm ready, like, order it, And that was when, equipment was 6 8 month lead time.
Wow.
Especially Incon too. That was like right in the midst of their like big blow up. And so I ran one time, and was like, all right, I gotta have it. It made too much sense not to, but
Yeah.
it hurt. I mean, that Incon is 40% of the cost of an excavator, like, literally.
Oh man, it fit 50, 40K, something like that.
Mine was 48K out the door with two buckets. That was it.
Yeah, dude, that's, and like I said, I mean, it's not like you've been in business for generations and have a fat stack of retained earnings.
No. And yeah, it wasn't like, oh yeah, we have 10 other excavators. Let's
Right.
try it out or something.
Right.
I just knew like and had seen enough of it that I was like, it makes sense. Like the numbers don't lie. Like people will say, oh, you're lazy because you do it this. No, I'm just smarter now. Like I have one less
Oh
on a job site.
yeah.
Like, and yeah, whatever. I want to sit my excavator versus hand shovel around this or whatever. Like,
Dude,
why not?
efficiency though. I mean,
Yeah.
you look at, 'cause as the business owner, you see the big, one of the biggest line items in your P&L is your people. The
Yeah.
people you pay to be there, and obviously equipment is the other big one, but the people you pay to be there and the hours that they're there, and you see all those numbers, and especially when you're still operating, you absolutely see it because you're usually the most productive of the group. And so when you toss that on, it all of a sudden increases your efficiency, your productivity, and then that extra guy can go do something else and you guys can wrap up half day a day early.
Yep. Yeah. So that was like, once it came in, it was just like went straight to work. And then obviously the attachments for it are another, like you get that all out. So, I got the excavator, I got it painted, I got the Incon, I'm ready to
Yeah.
go to work. And then you start to see all these other things and think of all these other things like, dang, that would be nice for this, but I'll make do
Yeah.
without it. Like, whatever. You only make do without it for so long.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like still, him and hawing about a grapple. And I've seen so many videos, I've talked to so many people that have them, everything. And I'm just the cost is the cost, like whatever, 15 grand for the grapple. It takes a lot of projects to like, in my opinion, justify that.
Right.
But I finally got the right one that I was like, yeah, there's no way I can do this job without it. I bid it without having it and knew that, like, okay, if I get the job, I'm literally like all of my profits from that job just bought this attachment. And that's pretty much what I did because I knew, like, okay, I can justify it for this one job. This
Yeah.
job is for it, whatever. Like, everything else is still paid for. I just don't get to put 15 grand in my pocket.
Right. Delayed gratification, though. I mean, now you've got this tool, the CMP grapple, where you can now jump into these other projects without having to buy this grapple or rent it, of course, which is another option, but can be also a black hole if you never get out of renting.
Exactly. And so that's where like now, like whatever, I just can't go to, Bali this winter for vacation and I'll just make the grapple work some more or something.
Yeah,
So
you hit Detroit or something, or Traverse City maybe.
yeah, I'll probably, just go up north and drive there instead of first class to wherever. But
Yeah.
I mean, it's really just like once you have that, it's game changer. Like
Yeah.
it's there's no doubt that this job right now that I'm using this grapple on, it's 200,000 pounds of natural limestone that we're making this retaining wall out of. And the way we used to do it on like smaller ones was we had a clamp set up, we'd hang it from the excavator. You'd have to adjust the clamp though, almost for every one because they're just different enough that it wouldn't grab it. If I didn't have this grapple, this job would have taken 6 weeks versus 3 weeks. And
That's unreal. I mean, you look at just the 3 weeks in cost alone, and
yeah,
there's your grapple.
exactly. And I mean, it's I've been there, I would say out of the 3 weeks we've been there, well, the end of this week will be 3 weeks, but out of those 3 weeks, I've been there half of that time by myself with just me
Nice.
and my two machines. Because there's days where I'm like, okay, it's gonna be a little slower. I can
Yep.
still set some stuff, but I don't need, my two other main guys, just kind of standing around for the most part or helping me with this. Like I can just do it myself. It's fine. And
Right.
so like that's also huge because I can send them to go and do, that's two other guys, like in theory that I'm replacing. Because before using that clamp, like we'd pretty much just have one sit by, all of our pallets and the other one would sit by the wall. And like, because this guy would always, hook me up. This guy would set it and vice versa. So now I'm literally eliminating two guys. So it's a no-brainer. And now like I also I guess I'm also like a firm believer in selling jobs that I'm set up for. And like
Absolutely.
now I can sell more of this product. And because I'm literally set up for it, like I can, nobody around me has the setup that I have. So like there's no way that they can compete with me on pricing because I can do it with two less guys
Right.
and half the, well, we'll
And
just
half
say,
the time.
yeah, if
Or
it's not even half the time, but we'll just say 25% less because
right.
like being generous. So like, there's no way that they can compete with me on that. And so I've just, every time though, it's just been like, I've really had to think about it and be like, does this make sense to do? And I mean, I've literally been thinking about a grapple for since the day I got the excavator, and it was a year and a half later, or yeah, a year and a half later that I actually pulled the trigger on it. And
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm kicking myself in the foot thinking, why didn't I do it a year and a half ago? But the funds weren't there a year and a half ago, so it
The
didn't.
funds weren't there, and you have to be a little bit patient in business, of course, because I mean, there's a lot of people right now struggling with brand new equipment, brand new machines, brand new attachments with zero work. And if you look at their debt to income ratio or how much debt they have on their books for the revenue they bring in a year, like you have to keep it in balance. And
Yeah.
that's also plays into how much money you have for a down payment, how many other payments you have, like what's your equity position on your current stuff. And you can absolutely go underwater. And then if any little blip happens with your, or if you mess up on a job and you come back
Yeah.
and you break even or you have to pay in money, I mean, that can put you under out of business.
Yeah, and that, I mean, all that stuff can happen very quickly. And
Yeah.
like, so it's one of those things where I've paid cash for as much as I like possibly can. And that makes sense. Like, but again, the excavator, like 0% for 24 months, like, why wouldn't you? Why would I go and spend 150 grand on, the, well, I guess I paid cash for the tilt rotator, but like finance the excavator because
Yeah.
0% for 24 months, like the money in the bank is making me more than 0%,
Right. Well, and also too, 24 months. I mean, yeah, if it was like 0% for 12 months, but then it goes to 17% after that, then it's a different conversation. But yeah, if it's for
Yeah.
24 months,
And that was just, I mean, it makes it a steeper payment, but
right.
it's one of those
That's
things where,
good.
yeah, get it done and get it over with. So by next April, like, it'll be 2 years and it'll be paid off. So
Yeah,
that.
you can't trick yourself out of how much the machine costs. Like, oh, if we have a small payment, it's only a couple hundred bucks a month, but it's stretched out for 10 years. It's like that
Yeah.
doesn't apply here. You need to, what's the total price that you're going to be paying? And of course, like 0% is a lot easier to calculate that, but if there's interest on it
Yeah, it's a
and they
totally
stretch it
different.
out, then it's like, well, let's get this thing taken care of as quickly as possible. And so sometimes these bigger payments, because of the shorter time period, can help you with your equity position.
Yeah. And so, but all of that, like attachments and anything, it's just, I pay cash for them when I know the time is right, when I can just, easily pay cash for them, I
Yeah.
guess. Like, when I'm put into that position, it's like, all right, yeah, like we have X amount in the account. This isn't gonna do anything to us realistically. Like this would be like the owner's profit essentially on this amount of money in the account. I'm gonna be nice and Christian's gonna buy Wynwood this grapple instead. Like that, I guess
Right.
that's how I can think of it and be like, oh, Christian's giving back to Wynwood. And but really, I'm
Yeah.
making my life easier at the end of the day because I still am, like, I'm in the field a lot and it allows me to do that. And so, but it's, yeah, it's anybody out there that's like on the fence, like I know how you feel. Like it's a big mountain to be on right now because you're just like, wow, like that is, it's a big investment on top of whatever else you have going on. And so, but it's a no-brainer to me now. Like, and I knew that realistically, like from the beginning, I knew, but I didn't want to be stupid about it and be like, all right, yeah, let's just do it. And
Yeah, you don't want to jeopardize your entire business of Wynwood going out of business because you wanted a grapple or because you wanted a tilt rotator. But in the likelihood of that was probably pretty small in your head, but you're just like, I just want to make sure that this is that we set ourselves up, that this is a good decision, not a bad decision that's going to put us out.
no, 100%. And I mean, you just don't ever want to get yourself put in that situation. But you also never know when that, that can happen. Like you can be on this big job and everybody thinks that these big jobs are like Obviously, I guess talking to like the smaller guys in the game that are up and coming, like I get a lot of people that message me, oh, how did you get into bigger jobs? That's where I want to go. And I'm like, do you really want to though? Like, if you knew what it took to do these, and Luke Payne, for example, like, yeah, ideally, like that looks awesome. But knowing like what he goes through and everything, like to get a $1 million job like that is, I can't even understand. I could not even comprehend the logistics of it all, from the pre-bid meeting to the final check. Like, that is, it's something that like a company like Wynnewood can't even comprehend, and it doesn't make sense. And I don't really want to get there. I don't want to be there. We obviously want to grow, but like, that's just, I'm not set up to do that. And I mean, even like $150,000 job with a homeowner, like, it's crazy how much more involved that is versus, a simple $20,000 patio or a $5,000 patio. Like, there's pros and cons to it all, but it's not all fun and games like a lot of people make it seem to be. And I think that's where a lot of listeners get, or a lot of people can get more info, is like on podcasts,
For
because
sure.
you can talk to, two business owners and get more insight of how it all works. Because, like, I mean, I never knew the first job I got that was over six figures. I was definitely bit off way more than I could chew. And we completed it all and did a great job, and everything was fine. But I was like, wow, like, was that really worth it? Like, I don't even made much money on it. The first one being, 100,000. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't know, because there's so many missed expenses and just all this other stuff. And now, like, if we get into the bigger stuff, we are kind of set up to, like, I don't want to do it all. Like, I just, there's more work at this property that I could do, but no, that'd be, that's the irrigation guy's job. Like, I'm here to do this retaining wall and this retaining wall only, and a rough cleanup at the end, but you're still gonna have a guy to final grade it, and after your irrigation guy. And like, if that is us, that's fine, but we'll be here, we'll come back and do that versus just drag it all out and try to fix the irrigation for them and do all this. And like, we're capable of doing it all, but like, I'm here to do this job, and this job only. So
I mean, it's a little bit about, stay in your lane, do what
yeah.
you're good at, but it's not to say that you can't grow and expand, but also, at what speed can you grow at? And because obviously a lot of people we know are just so spread so thin that their quality drops with these certain jobs. So if you stay in your lane and you're like, yeah, we're really good at this, if you want me to do that, I can, but it's usually not us. And so, and
Yeah.
that's all factored into the pricing as well. And I love, Luke, we talk about it all the time of, it's like this big final goal of like, once we get to commercial work, all of our problems are solved. And I guess I have the luxury of working with so many contractors that are doing B2C, but also B2B and everything in between. And I'm like, there's pros and cons to residential, there's pros and cons to commercial, federal, state, city, municipal, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's like most of the companies I talk to that want to be commercial today, like they're just not set up for it. Their infrastructure, their team, their company, their equipment isn't set up for it. Their cash flow, probably most important,
Yeah.
isn't set up to sustain a commercial project that comes in at 400,000. And the big number looks amazing. It's like our business has made it, but the top line doesn't matter at all. It's like what, after retainage, what comes back home to you after all the mistakes and everything.
And even like, can you, because we do like a little commercial work for a couple contractors, I guess, that like we know. And but are you set up to be able to, pay, or for the 60-day payment terms or 90-day payment terms? Like, you have to be able to float everything for 60, 90 days. Like, and I know Luke's talked about that a lot before on the podcast. And like, that's the biggest thing a lot of people don't understand. Like, homeowners, it's still like, I don't know, everybody has their ways that they get payment from homeowners, and like, everybody's different. But the bigger you get on a job, like, that homeowner doesn't just write you a $100,000 check. Like, when you go out there and talk to them about the project, like there's still payment terms on that. And you still do float, the business for a certain amount of time, but it's not nearly as bad as commercial. Like the commercial jobs that we go on, like the nothing is like too big, like $40,000, $50,000, I would say is like the max, but it's still like it puts business into a different perspective when you have to start to, float things for 60 or 90 days. And like, well, I don't even want to say that. You never know if you're gonna get paid from any project. So like you can't say that.
Absolutely.
But like this company is like really good. They've always paid for us, but you still just never know. Is that check gonna come day 45, day 60, 75? Like by day 90, like you're hoping that that thing's already in the mail because you got some payments coming up, and like you're looking at everything's trending, and you're like, it'll be fine, but like another 30 days, and I'm gonna be like returning pop cans maybe or
Dude,
something.
it's the worst. And I used to do this back when we would send invoices. When you see them open the invoice like 12 times, and you're like, come on, let's finish this thing.
And that's, I guess another big thing, like going to that is when I started out, I didn't take like credit cards as payment and like hand check. Everybody's got to write a check, mail it. 2 years ago, I said, and it was as simple as literally just turning on a setting on QuickBooks, right? Like through my,
There's a button. It's like accept credit cards.
yeah. And I just never really looked into that or anything. And so literally I started doing that, and that has taken a ton of work off my plate and my accountant's plate. And it's also just like you can get paid faster. Like honestly, I don't know why I never did it, because
Well,
I
the processing fees,
ready to do that.
you're probably thinking, well, a $10,000 job, a 3% fee, that's $300 that they're taking out, and I could make that $300 back if I just get a check. But then you don't realize that there's so much work usually that goes into writing a check if it's like a homeowner, where they have their credit card in their wallet. They're like, oh, sweet, I get Amex travel points. They type in their info, and just think of how you think as a consumer. And if somebody asked me to write a check, I'm like, yeah, let me go find my checkbook
100%.
in my box of stuff here. Or, oh yeah, we take Amex or Capital One. I'm like, oh, sweet, I've got it right here. Let's close
Just do
that
that.
tab in my brain and get it over with.
And like, so yeah, I started doing that, and that's been like huge. And there's some people who can charge for the processing fee, some people can't. Like, we all have different ways of maybe how to recoup that at some point. But yeah, that's just like huge. So to anybody out there that's like growing and doesn't do that, like either figure it into your pricing and do it that way or something. But like that's been huge. And like I have customers, I'll send invoices, since I do all my own invoicing, estimates, all of that, and I'll send invoices some nights at like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like some nights when I'm just like, what, I just gotta hammer all these out. Whatever. I'll have customers that are still up, and like they'll Apple Pay me like right away. Like you can literally see it comes through, like, so and so paid, and it's like Apple Pay, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what is, like, hey, but if you send them a check, if you send them one that they have to write a check, like they might open it at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Dude,
They're gonna
they're not
forget
going to get
about
it done right then and there.
And they might forget about it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then 30 days later you finally get that check, and now you gotta either mobile deposit it or go to the bank. Like just let them pay on a card. Like
Well, and that's how I look at it. It's would you rather have $10,000 this second, like today, because they can use a credit card, or sorry, $9,700 today because they can use a credit card, or $10,000, but running the risk of it might be 30 days or 45 days because they need to get that over to you, get it through the mail, get it to the right address, all this stuff. And I get it too. It's a lot different with commercial, with associations, with all that. Like they have to cut checks, but when it's somebody, a homeowner that has a credit card, having that option, I would 10 times out of 10 take less money if I can get paid right now.
No, and obviously I draw the line on certain things. Like, I'm not gonna, most of our bigger stuff, anything over like 20,000, something like that, like I'm seeing that homeowner multiple times so they can just hand deliver me a check. I'm there. Hey, can I grab a check for the deposit? Whatever. Like you have more interaction. Like a lot of our service stuff, I don't see the homeowners, I don't talk to them. And I mean, I've definitely had a homeowner who's like, hey, can I put this patio on my credit card? I'm like, I mean, I guess I don't, I'm like, I'm gonna have to charge you that. And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I just want my points. It's like, okay, whatever. Like if they're fine with that and like they can put 30, 40 grand on a credit card, then yeah, more power to you. Like, I don't care. So
It's the same money. So yeah, just be smart about it. Like if it's 30 or 40K, just be like, yeah, I can. Is it okay if we just add in the fees? You know, so there's certain things you can do like that where, you know, you don't want to get screwed over for a few thousand dollars. Like you said, or if you're seeing them multiple times. But yeah, dude, I love it. So with this is one question I wanted to ask you, because I think you and I are probably pretty similar where we're almost unemployable. It's hard to think about us having a job again,
yeah.
when working for somebody. So let's say you can't be a business owner, you can't be in the landscaping industry, you know, your business license is revoked, and you can't make your own money. You have to go get a job. What do you do?
I would, which I can I still do it? Like if I still do it current to current day, is that allowed or no?
What is it?
Snowcat operator.
No, that doesn't count.
Dang, because I still do that in the wintertime. Ah, if I just had to go get a job. Honestly, I'd probably go work for an asphalt company.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, you just grind all summer. But it would definitely be like it'd have to be like a cool asphalt company and like run a paper for them. I wouldn't really want to run a roller, but just like that instant gratification that you get from like paving, I don't know. When I worked on an excavating company, I did that for like one day, and I mean it sucked, but I like to work hard. Like there's nothing like going to work, breaking a sweat, getting dirty, coming home, and like I love that about like that's what makes it hard for me to grow too much more or like the
Because you
growing
get pulled out of it.
you get pulled out of that and which I slowly have happened, but that's what I would do. Like go be an operator somewhere and just be really good at what I do and like just be happy there. That's which I love. Like I've obviously, I mean, every business owner's thought about that. They're like, oh, should I go and do like should I just throw in the towel? And like I've thought of it so many times, you know, when something bad happens, should I just throw in the towel? No, you just got to keep pushing, push through the bad, and like the good will come. But if I was unemployable, I would go be an operator for somebody. Like I love working and like working hard. And I mean, I even miss the days of like being down in the hole and you know, laying 1,000 feet of water main or something in a day and like coming home just absolutely like whooped. Like, I don't know. That's like the different mentality of certain people. And like I would still love to go and do that. And
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's how you get in this position. That's how you start this business. And then also too, having that mentality, you can provide that for the guys that come work with you. And it's like, yeah, well, how can I make this? Because I always think about this, the people that work for you aren't a business owner. You know what I mean? So how do you make this like advantageous for them or attractive enough to stay and not just go start their other business? But it's like providing that culture of being able to work hard, get paid well, use some of this technology and some of these attachments that they can't just go out and buy real quick. But then, yeah, just building that camaraderie and that culture. And I think what's really cool is that I see it, you know, through your guys' like videos and everything. It's just really cool to see not just you on there, but like all your guys and just the interactions they have and how they just let it fly. I mean, it's
No,
pretty
it's
hilarious.
some things get, you know, some things are pretty loose here at Wynwood, but
For
we
sure.
just we like to have.
HR is cracking down.
Yeah, no, HR is they tell us some videos can't go out, but I still post them. So
Hell yeah.
we just like to have fun and like work hard, you know, and that means working late some nights into the dark, up early. Like, you know, some days are brutal through like the busier seasons, and the guys I have are great guys, and they like to work and grind it out. So at the end of the day, it's really fun, but it's also like I'm really grateful to have like guys that want to do that. And because that's where I was, and that's like where I still am. Like I just love working, and like I don't know, just brings like some kind of happiness to me. And also like giving a customer like fulfilling, like this is what they've always dreamt of, and now they're finally seeing it come
Right.
to life. So that's more of like another side of it. But it's just, work hard, play hard, and we definitely do that here at Wynwood. So we
Yeah, definitely like to get after it. And that's the thing too, like you said, of you're also doing this for your customers. Like this, you're not building this outdoor oasis for yourself. I mean,
Yeah.
yes, the money is there, but you're building this for them, and this is something they've dreamed of. So there's a lot of value in seeing value in your own work. But I guess as we wrap up here, because this is, I just realized we went long, and this is perfect because there's so much more I want to talk about, but I'm gonna try and wrap it up in a bow here. So obviously Christian Lefley, Wynwood Property Services. For anyone listening, go give him a follow if you aren't already following him. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, get that, now that YouTube's monetized, get some money
Yeah,
in the
get the
bank.
views up. Come
Get
on.
the views up. Go, go like and subscribe. As we kind of wrap up, love to hear, you're 26. You've been at this now for I think 7 or 8 years. I would say it's a success, but you're not done yet, obviously. And same thing with my stuff. It's like we're having a great time. We're building a business. But what piece of advice would you give to people listening? As you and I were talking earlier, of just there's a lot of people listening that are about to go full time in their own business. Maybe they just went full time a year ago. They're probably having some bumps in the road. Like, what piece of advice would you give those people listening?
Yeah, so I guess like the biggest takeaway from it all would just like if you're just starting or you're about to, like it's a scary jump for sure. Like I still remember my last day of being employed, like the whole day. And it's like a vivid memory. So I know right where they are, and like you just have to believe in yourself and know that it's gonna be hard, and that you're gonna work a lot and make way less than you've ever made in your entire life. And but that's the beginning, and you gotta get through year one, then year three, then year five. I'm at year seven and a half, eight, so I don't know what year 10 is gonna bring, but like once you get into it, you just gotta give it everything you have, and like, but don't be dumb and like, buy things that you don't need, and don't think, don't live outside of like your reality and what you can afford, and lever, good, some debt is good debt, and some debt is bad debt, and like you just have to really figure that all out, to each their own, like what is what. But yeah, just like really just keep pushing and power through it. And I know like you, like if any of them ever were to reach out to you or me or so many others that you've had on, like we're all willing to like answer a message, hop on a quick phone call if we have time. Usually DMs and email, text messages is always easier for all of us. But like with a question or like what to do in a situation for their next step, like none of us are professionals at it, but we all have our different ideas and ways of doing it. So like I guess I don't want to put you on the spot and be like, yeah, reach out to Luke, but you guys can always reach out to me. And
And they obviously anyone listening can reach out to me and any of our guests that we've had on, we always open that up. We're like, yeah, shoot them a message on Instagram, at least let them know you listen to the episode. But yeah, when a question pops up, that's the whole point of this, is like bringing all of these people together, because it's not that they're the expert, but they've probably messed it up so bad that they're not gonna mess it up that bad again, and they can
or
help
we
you
know someone,
avoid that mistake.
or we know somebody that's been there and we've talked
Exactly.
it out, So, but yeah, to any of those guys, and like I guess to help Luke's views go up and maybe get some monetizing dollars, like if you made it this far in the podcast, you made it this far, we have to give them a word, and I'll send them a hat, but we need a word, and I don't know what the word's gonna be.
What's your dog's name again?
His name is Togi. So maybe if you T-O-G-E.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you say you listen to the Dirtbags podcast and whatever my dog's name is. I will send you a hat, and I might let you pick the color, or I might just throw it in a box and send it with some stickers. So
There you go. So
that's
shoot
for
us a message, Togi. That means you listened this far. I'll also throw something in there. Bunch of air fresheners. We got a bunch of new things, hats, things like that, just to add to Christian's package there.
So we'll do that, and I guess you can message either me or Luke at Phaser. Either one of us will kind of maybe we'll leave it out there for a couple of weeks, and then we'll start to put them all together. I don't know. I think it's
Man.
something a little fun to do to see, get the viewers to listen, but we can't really like warn them, ahead of time.
No,
So.
definitely not. I mean, because if they've listened this far, I mean, we've been rambling too. So this is gonna be a good one to see if anyone and who has listened this far. So Togi, Toge, send us a message and we will hook you up. So Christian, thank you so much for being on. This is way better than I had even expected, and I was very, very excited for this one. It's even to the point where like I'm already thinking down the road, 6 months, 12 months of like bringing you back on number two, because there's so much more I want to unpack. But dude, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it, and yeah, excited to keep it rolling.
No, likewise. I appreciate it too. And it was a ton of fun to get on there and, kind of just ramble on about all things business, life, and
Yes,
everything in
sir.
between. So,
Awesome. Good to see you, man, and cheers.
cheers to you.
Let's go.